Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Proofs Alive. We are so happy to see you guys. Something feels a little different.
Is someone missing? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, so someone, the big man, had a birthday yesterday, and he is still enjoying some time off to enjoy his birthday. But we didn't want you guys to miss out on the show, so Mickey and I are here to fill in. And we have a great guest today, 3D Maker Noob, you may know him as, but also Joe Kasha. And so, yeah, it's going to be a great show, even without Joe. Actually, I guess it is. We still have a Joe.
Yeah, we do have a Joe. And
we have a Joe.
He might have a second Joe, in a way.
He might. He might, yeah.
We'll see in a bit.
We'll see when we get there.
I mean...
why don't we talk about... this will go quick this time. Why don't we talk about our Prusa Printers Picks of the Week?
I mean, you can go first. Joe's not here. We can do whatever we want.
I'll go first. I took my dog to the dog park this weekend. I got a puppy. Kind of in the fall. And took him to the dog park. And he wasn't very good about listening and kept running away. So my wife and I decided we're going to try to do some more traditional training on him, to get him to recall back a little bit better and everything else. And so my wife was like, we need to go out and buy some whistles, some dog whistles. And I was like, why do we need to buy dog whistles when we can print dog whistles? So I have the emergency signaling and sports whistle here by Thomas. And it is, I will spare you all, it is incredibly loud. And it's got nice angles and lines on it, so it'll fit in your pocket. It has a little lanyard hole here, so I can wear it on a string around my neck. But we're gonna print a whole bunch of them and train our dogs with the whistle. And you know, when you've got a 3D printer, why not print the stuff that you need instead of buying it? So this is my pick this week.
Do you wanna? Can you hear it when it?
I'll blow it really softly.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Have you tried this already with your dog?
I did actually. Like it finished, and so we started blowing it. They got very interested. Both dogs got very interested in it to begin with. But yes, we're working on every time we blow it, we give them a little snack, and so they associate that Pavlov dog thing, associate the sound of the whistle with a snack. And yeah, the puppy is very, very food motivated, so little Kepler.
I am as well, so I understand it.
Yeah.
Okay. So my pick of the week is this tape holder, it's tape holder and dispenser. You also have the blue tape, but we don't really use that with our printers because we have the sheets. But I use the painter's tape a lot when I label, for example, boxes of food that I put in the freezer because I never know what's in the box. And when I'm masking 3D prints, when I'm doing some post-processing on them. And they're always such a pain to, like, rip and, find the beginning. So, this is just... Okay, I will focus. Focus. Let's focus. I guess it is what it is. Yeah, so it's two pieces. This one, basically, there's a thread on the inside that connects the two parts together. And, you then just... Which way is it? Okay. Yeah, you just take the tape, you put it over, and you can rip it out, and it makes like a really nice and clean edge. The model is actually for a half size of this. It's for 24 millimeter wide tape. But I was like, I can probably just scale it to 200% vertically, even though there's a thread on the inside. As long as it's scaled both sides, and it worked perfectly. So
that's perfect. I have a slightly wider version here too.
Okay.
I'm very interested to see if that same trick even still works. So that I keep this around for masking off cuts for my laser cutter, and so
So this is by FNS 720, and it's 24 millimeter masking tape dispenser that I've simply scaled along the Z axis by 200%.
Yeah, that's really great. Also, I use a good bit of masking tape in my shop for glue ups of woodworking projects.
Yeah.
So that would be super handy there because, it gets annoying trying to get it started off of the thing when
it has a little hole here. I'm not sure if that's for like wall mounting, but you could very easily just drill like two or three holes here and maybe attach it to a pegboard or something.
Yeah.
So that you can always
you know, add a part modifier and Prusa slicer, right? And put a hole in it right in the model, right?
That works too. maybe one little note is that this part, there's some load on it, obviously, when you try to rip it off. So there's a setting in Prusa slicer in the infill section where you can say solid infill for area smaller than, and then there's like millimeters squared. So I just said something like anything smaller than, I think it was like 30 millimeters squared, just make it solid infill. So it's sparse infill in the like big section, but this is full of plastic so that it's at least like
nice and stiff. Yeah,
nice and stiff.
Yeah, really, really, really great tip there.
Thanks.
Yeah, I guess you could also do a like a cylindrical or a
totally box. Yeah modifier and just say
modifier there too. Yeah,
and that works too.
Infill there too.
Yeah.
I love part modifiers. Like it's so. Yeah. So great, all the things that you can do now in Prusa Slicer with all the part modifiers and things. So it's awesome. All right. Well, so we have some news for you. First of all, I'm not sure if that tape dispenser came from our organization contest, but I did definitely see that there are some other tape dispensers out there in our organization contest, but our organization contest is now done. So no more entries. And we are in the process of working through and trying to pick the winner.
Yeah.
I know a lot of you guys are anxious, but there were well over 1,000 entries this time.
Yes,
and so we need to do our due diligence and you know pick the best one. So it's gonna take a little time to get through. I finished my first pass on my picks last night.
Okay.
So
there are so many, so many.
Yeah. Just scrolling through over and over. You guys did a great job. We will get with you guys very soon. But you know, little bit of patience as we figure out the winner.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And Mickey, I think just what was it yesterday, sometime this week, you just uploaded a new video. Prusa stories.
We did. It's a rather cool one. When I first saw it, I was like a little bit concerned about the animals because just an uneducated view on it was like, oh my god, what are they doing to the animals? But it's actually vice versa. It's helping them kind of very much. It's a video about a rescue station and these guys that print little backpacks for birds and they track how they fly around the world and they try to learn about, you know, where they might die or if they release it into the wild and if something happens to the bird very soon after the release, they can actually track it down and rescue it again, which is pretty nice. So it is on our YouTube channel and it's pretty interesting use of our printers.
Yeah, absolutely. Love hearing stories about, you know, actual real world uses for our machines and, you know, trying to save some wildlife is a great one there. New mini firmware is out. For those of you that recently downloaded firmware for, there's the video.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, for those of you that recently downloaded firmware 4.3.0, we just released firmware 4.3.1. So make sure to go out and download that. It has just some hot fix in it. You may not run into a problem whatsoever. But this will make sure that you don't at all. So be sure to go grab that firmware.
It was a really like a hotfix for kind of rare scenarios. I think one was during the self-test. There was one more. But yeah, it doesn't hurt to always be on the latest version. So yeah, for sure update if you can.
And you released a video last show 2 weeks ago. Where we talked about the new features on Prusa printers.
Yeah.
And as of the end of last week, all of those features are now out there. So if you guys want to go check out some of those things that we talked about last week, they are all live on prusaprinters.org. And they're available to everything that's out there.
Yeah, so, everyone.
If you've already uploaded some models to Prusa printers, now's a great chance to kind of go back and maybe do a little bit of sorting and reorganization of files within your upload so that it's easier for users to use. And you can also upload more file types. So if you want to add some instructions or, you know, some Arduino source files or something like that, that's now available.
I actually can now think of about a few things that we didn't talk about. So maybe I can add a few little extras.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You know, there's the new text editor, and like one of the, like some of the things that we do are not the super visible ones, but so you can now, you know, embed YouTube videos and you can style your text and everything, but you could kind of do that already with the markup language, which was really not very easy to use, right. But some users did it. So what do we do with all the like nicely formatted text that they've spent time, you know, working on, and now we have a different system that's not really compatible. So we went over all of these kind of collisions, and we made sure that we converted those. So there's some really nice like side effects of all these things. So for example, everyone who had a YouTube link in the, just, you know, pasted as a new line in the description, it automatically now is, even for all the older prints, it turned into an embedded player, which I think is pretty cool.
That's so great.
Yeah, so a lot of backwards compatibility things so that everything still looks nice. And some people did like a nice table. So we also converted the table from markup to this new VisiVig editor. So all of that should still be working very nicely. I also remember I saw many suggestions on Twitter about the supported formats. So we now have the other files section where, for example, here I have the Arduino sketch file. And yeah, we've collected a lot of like new suggestions. So we will for sure talk about those soon, yeah. And we will consider adding some.
Yeah. Always updating, always making it better, which is, you know, yes. Important.
More updates to come. I don't want to spoil it yet, but yeah, the dev team just keeps working on several things in parallel. And you guys really like the devlog, so I think we will for sure do another one, and we will show you what's the next thing for Prusa Printers that's coming.
Yeah, yes. That's super great. Yeah, I definitely enjoyed seeing that, and yeah, I got some feedback that you guys do too. So yeah, we'll look forward to the next one. That's a great job, Mickey. So what do you say we grab Joe and bring Joe in?
This stream is desperately missing some Joe. So
we need a Joe for sure in this stream. Totally missing a Joe. All right, he's joining us. There he is.
Hey. Finally a Joe in the stream.
Yes, finally a Joe in the stream.
Joe and
We are joined by Joe Casha, better known as 3D Maker Noob. Yes, and there's little Joe. For those of you that don't know, yesterday again was Joe Prusa's birthday, and the amazing Photosmith in a very, very rapid time turned out that little Joe model. To help celebrate Joe's birthday, which was very impressive. I was encouraging people
Like 4 hours.
It was something like 4 hours, which is nuts. I was encouraging people to print some of the existing Joes to help celebrate Joe's birthday, because I didn't want to try to convince a designer to try to, you know, make something new in like 3 days, and he turned it out in 4 hours, which was just incredible. But yeah, so we are joined by Joe Casha. You guys know him as 3D Maker Noob. Joe has been making 3D printing tutorials and videos for quite a while now, and recently has kind of shifted a lot of his content to more mixed media and renamed his channel Breaks and Makes. Hopefully you guys are tuning into that and checking it out. It's really, really interesting to me of, you know, combining things together, and we're super happy to have him on the show to kind of talk about what that experience of that transition has been like.
Yeah, great. Well, first of all, it's absolutely great to be here. It's kind of a privilege. As mentioned, I used to do mostly 3D printing. I started my channel 3.5 years ago, something like that. It was basically just a journey of a guy who's never touched a 3D printer and just, you know, working my way from there. me having
hence the noob name, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. That was the whole thing. Like, I was an absolute noob. And the thing is, the noob kind of sticks because I always want to teach myself something new. I always want to learn stuff. So in the past year with the pandemic, you know, being stuck at home, first of all, printing a lot of face shields that kind of wrecked my brain with 3D printing.
Understandable.
I spent some time wondering what I should do. And I thought to myself, you know, like there are many things that I want to do and I'd love to share them, but you know, people come here for just 3D printing and I want to expand. So I took a very long time to decide to rebrand the channel, pivot, still including 3D printing, still doing tutorials, still doing reviews. But also branch out into other media like CNC, resin. There's art going to be involved as well. I even got myself a melting furnace. So
that's
going to happen as well.
That was what I wanted to ask about, because you're using quite a few like different tools. Did you already have like a nice like tool shop?
Yeah. So
did you expand?
The idea was kind of two-way. One, for the channel to expand. Two, to start my own business in selling sort of like, not handmade crafts, but stuff like that, you know, home decor. And yeah, I thought to myself, you know, might as well invest in some decent hardware. And I did. I bought myself a 1.5 meter by 1.5 meter Usnest CNC, got myself a turning lathe, vacuum chamber, melting furnace, lots of, you know, woodworking tools. Basically, I want to workshop where whatever I can think of, I can do. Like, I have no excuse. The only thing I need now is a laser cutter, and I'm sorted.
Okay.
Yeah, lasers are great. I love all of these machines, but lasers are fun in the how fast they are. Yeah, everything else, like, is a process and a wait for, and lasers just get jobs done quick, which is really nice. But yeah, I love the kind of, you know, these combination things. And I've discussed this on the show before, you know, people that are mixing media of not just 3D printing or not just CNC or, you know, traditional woodworking, but, you know, are bringing all of these things together. Yeah. And I'm super excited with what you're doing with Breaks and Makes. Do you have some projects to kind of show
off
what you've been working on so far?
So starting off from where all this started. So about 2 years ago, I did this lamp. Hold on, you can probably see it better like this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There. So this is like fully 3D printed. It's kind of a bit over-engineered. It's all lock in place. It has a fan to cool the LEDs. Nice. And it was kind of a bit over-engineered. Like,
okay.
But it was fun because, you know, it got me interested in mixing electronics with 3D printing. One of my most recent projects is something I probably am the most proud of, is my purge clock. So this is made with purge blocks from multi-material printing. This project has 3D printing, it has CNC, it has resin in it, it has electronics. The only thing that's missing is some LEDs, which I didn't have time to do. But other than that, this is probably my favorite project.
It looks totally sweet, yeah.
I've saved those purge blocks for about 2.5 years, thinking that one day I'm going to find a way to use them. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
well, and it's great for all those people who complain about, you know, purge blocks being a waste and things like that. Like, you found a very reasonable, you know, usage for them and output for them that really made something beautiful, right? Like, in many ways that would be a pain to kind of create just naturally or just intentionally, I guess, is a better way to put it. But instead, you know, having these spares, you were able to put things together.
Yeah.
Just before the stream, we were talking about how it kind of looks like the old school calibration image that some channels just place. You know, that's what they stream and there's no content. So I think it looks really sweet.
Another thing, like, I'm fascinated with infills. Like, right now I'm going to be doing a project very soon with all the
sneak peek
slicer infills, but cannot show more on
that. Okay.
But I don't know what you're talking about, slicer infills.
It's going to be a bit different because this involves CNC, wood, and resin, and everything.
Okay.
The problem with infill is there is nothing that you can do structurally wise with it, because, you know, you cannot do a vase with it because it's porous, you know. So
I mean, that's where you, that's what I wanted to say. You can, you kind of already did.
So this is like a gyroid infill vase. It's cast in resin. Then it has some walnut at the top and at the bottom. You know, I turned it on a lathe. This was like the first project. I did quite a few mistakes with this because I poured too much resin in and it started melting the filament inside. So it kind of lost its gyroid shape. But that was a lesson learned. So definitely something to learn.
Resin.
Yeah, that's the one.
Resin is an exothermic reaction when it's actually curing.
And the thing is, I initially done another one, but it completely melted. Like it started boiling, smoke started coming out. I was freaking out to my girl.
Yeah.
The reaction is insane.
Right. It can get quite hot for sure.
Yeah. And like, this is one of my latest projects. This is a.
Yeah,
a little lamp. So this is SLA printed innards, like the hearts. You have Pidgey on top and bottom, an off-the-shelf LED lamp with a remote, and then cast in resin once again. And it's just, they make awesome gifts. I made about three of these. This one was for my daughter. I have another one, which is like a DNA, which she gave to her boyfriend, which is a sore subject.
I remember in the video you've suspended the hearts with like a nylon string.
So this was a bit tricky because I didn't know if this would float or it would sink.
Yeah.
So what I did was I put together some fishing line at the top and at the bottom. You can probably see there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
there.
Just barely. Yeah.
Because I figured it might not look that obvious. But yeah, now I just bought about 500 meters worth of fiber optic cable because I have another idea. The more projects I do like these, the more ideas I get, you know, and it just comes to the point where I really need to organize my thoughts and just, you know, do them.
Yeah.
It gets
tricky just in and of itself, right?
Yes, exactly. Because you're doing something and you think, oh my God, I could do this. And then I do this. And then I go on Amazon and I start buying things to make these projects. And all of a sudden I have a box full of things. I'm like, I need to start somewhere.
Yeah, I have a bunch of parts and a bunch of wood and everything else sitting around waiting for my garage to get warm enough for me to go work on projects, and I'm just chomping at the bit. But like you say, I just keep coming up with more projects that I want to do and just need to get them done.
Yeah, like for example, at MRF, there was Print and Play who was showing off his Ready Printer 1.
Yeah.
So I printed all those parts, and I have all the electronics. But now what I want to do is all the flat surfaces, I'm going to CNC in wood.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else I would like to hydro dip in carbon fiber.
Ooh, hydro dipping.
You know, just to give it that little extra.
Yeah.
Kind of. So, yeah.
Have you tried hydro dipping already? Or will that be your first time experimenting with it?
It'll be my second time experimenting. Okay. The only problem is that getting the liquid, the activator spray in Malta, is an absolute nightmare because no one ships aerosols to Malta and no one sells them here in Malta. There's very little you can buy here. Also, I have to, like, even casting resin, I have to get from abroad because no one sells it here.
Mm.
Or silicone molds.
Have you ever done any hydro dipping, Mickey? It's fun.
I know,
yes,
but
I did. I've tried it. It's awesome. It's mind-blowing.
It doesn't get old. Whenever I just see someone doing it, I'm just staring at it. It's so satisfying, you know, just slowly putting it in the liquid, okay. And then you stir it, and it comes out so perfect every time.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a really amazing project. It was done by a university. I forget exactly who it was. I think it was university. It may have been Disney Research. I don't remember. But this was like 5-6 years ago, but they were actually using an Xbox Kinect and some custom software and everything else, and they were mapping. First, they were like scanning in, or actually they were taking the model that a 3D printed object had, and then taking a texture map and pulling the texture map off of that and flattening that out so that you know, it would fit the curves, and then printing that out in hydro dipping paper, putting it on on the surface and then using the Kinect to properly align things as it got dunked down in, so that the texture map would then re-wrap around the object. So
yeah.
One of the examples that they had was kind of like a tiger's face. And so the eyes went to the right place on the eyes and the stripes like followed the contour of the face. It was an amazing project. I will see if I can find it later and send a tweet out or something about it for anyone who's interested in seeing it. It's very cool.
Brilliant.
So yeah, but even just taking the normal sheets and or the printable sheets and putting whatever texture you want on them and then just dipping a normal part, it's a great way to add color and you know texture to
that's another thing of 3D printing. Like, you know, hydro dipping goes so well with 3D printing if you just, you know, don't want something to look 3D printed.
That reminds me of a really cool technique that I just recently saw in a formula manufacturer that uses our printer. And it was fun. They print the part, and then they, what is it? When you do carbon fiber, it's epoxy, and it's the soft carbon
laminate.
Laminate, yeah. So they just cover the printed part with the carbon textile and the epoxy, and then they had a showcase piece that fell on the ground, and the inner plastic cracked. But by that time, it didn't really matter because the plastic already served its purpose, and it's the carbon that now, you know, has all the strength that they need. So that was a really cool technique as well.
Yeah, and you can do vacuum bagging with that to get really tight textures and things like that, which is, vacuum bagging's awesome.
There's so many things like that, and that's the thing. There are so many things you can do, and I want to do all of them.
Exactly. When you start kind of like looking outside the sphere of just printing, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, the world opens up of all these techniques that incorporate so well with 3D printing, right? Like, we're not talking about, like, go do CNC and not 3D printing. What we're saying is do them together because it's even better.
Yes.
And so
I
have someone from a major CNC manufacturer who I'm friends with, and he's using one of our machines, and he's getting super excited now about, you know, things that he did entirely in CNC before, he's now mixing in 3D printed parts with his CNC creations, and, you know, loving how that's turning out. And a lot of that is easy ways to add pops of color, or, you know, make parts that fit in well, but would be kind of difficult to CNC out just, you know, with a normal kind of, you know, 2.5D CNC. It's very cool.
I think it's when you only use 3D printing, it's like the usual, when all you have a hammer,
everything's a nail.
Yeah. So as soon as you kind of start to think a little bit, I don't have to literally 3D print everything. Like, I don't have to make 3D printed screws. I can just use screws.
Thing, like, 3D printing is awesome. You know, it just starts, it kicks off that creativity. But then you think, like, I can do that, you know, in a different way and add some more mediums. And I was like, okay.
I'm sure a lot of the things that you learned along the way of 3D printing have kind of helped you moving forward, like taking that jump from 3D printing where you kind of already understand the concept of G-code and Cartesian positioning and things like that. Moving that into CNC is really helpful. At least it was for me.
Think
what did you
find? One of the things that helped me the most, so 4 years ago, I had no idea about CAD design, absolutely nothing at all. And, you know, I just started playing around with Fusion 360, and nowadays I can do part prototyping for customers, you know, in Fusion 360. And that mentality of printing without supports, or how can you 3D print that, you know, the easiest way, really helps you along with trying to figure out CNC as well. Because it kind of works the opposite way. So if you want to try to do an organic shape on CNC, it's not easy, but it's possible. If you think of it the right way, you just have to think the opposite of 3D printing.
Yeah.
So it helps. I mean, 3D printing definitely helps.
Trey was asking if you've tried, or if you're planning any electroplating of 3D prints. That's another thing that I really want to do.
I really want to.
Yeah.
But once again, it's just a matter of finding the chemicals I need to use. Because all these things, I have them on my list of everything that I want to do. But yes, the plan is that I will do electroplating at some point,
okay,
one way or the other.
Okay.
I have played around with it, with not great results to begin with, but I kind of didn't know what I was doing well enough and was skipping a step. So definitely zinc coat before you try to get other things, because it's much easier to put zinc onto materials, and then like copper coat or gold coat or, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to do in the end. I was trying to copper coat, and I was trying to take a part that I could already, you know, was already conductive, and get that to be copper coated directly. And I was skipping the zinc transition, and I think that was a big mistake. So,
For me right now, my priority is actually finding a can of paint that is conductive.
Yes.
That I can spray as a base, because see, it's stuff like that sort of holds me back. It's finding that one thing, and usually it involves aerosol.
Yeah. Well, we will talk later, because you might be able to make some of this stuff. So okay. I made my own copper plating fluid, and yeah, the fluid was fine. I just needed I needed to make a zinc fluid first, and so
all right, okay.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah, we'll talk about this.
Definitely.
So have you found any tricks that have really like kind of helped you out in kind of combining these mediums together? Anything that you would say? I mean, I think you already kind of stated one, right? Like, don't cast large resin parts. It'll melt
definitely. Secondly, if whatever you're going to do, if you're going to do it on camera, make sure you research safety first.
Yeah.
Not because, like, for example, I when I was turning, I think, the vase, and at some point I had a working glove on to hold the sandpaper on. And the amount of people that tell me, like, you shouldn't be wearing gloves, you're like, you know, it's just, you know, for a bit of extra grip, like, it's okay. But I think definitely safety is like the major concern with everything. When it comes to CNC, the one thing I'll always recommend to everyone, always, don't worry if it takes forever, but always do a dry run first. Always. Because having worked on something for so long, and then having the last step being the CNC and ruining it, because, like, for example, the clock, this one. So I decided, this was the first time I actually ever did a dry run on a CNC. And the good thing about that was that when I honed the CNC on Vectric VCarve Pro, I actually made that the home is on the bottom left corner, whereas it was supposed to be in the center.
Ouch.
And if I had put this on straight away, I would have completely ruined it. So yeah, when it comes to CNC, that's my biggest advice. Always do a dry run first.
When you do a dry run, do you just watch it do its thing and...
So I tend to remove the bit, home it slightly higher, and just see where it's going. Alternatively, just put a scrap piece of wood and test it out with that first.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's definitely it.
Yeah, the other side of that is like we tend to not have as big of a problem with failures in 3D printing, because the plastic doesn't really cost that much. And while time sucks for everyone, CNC, when you fail, it can get really expensive quick.
Yes.
And so, you know, when you realize you forgot to flip the switch to turn the spindle on your router, you drive a bit straight down into material, and then you've ruined the chunk of material, which could be expensive in and of itself. Plus, you've probably snapped a $50 bit. And I say this out of experience, not once, not twice, but
it happened to me once that I forgot to switch on the spindle. It was literally just about to touch the wood spindle.
There's a lot of gotchas, and it gets.
I've recently discovered that these things exist. It's a CNC pendant.
Yeah,
I had no idea these existed, and I just received this, and it has that really satisfying thing. So this this will make her life much easier. Much easier.
I have a USB style, like almost like a PlayStation controller.
Yeah.
That I use as a pendant.
Especially mine having the Duet firmware on it. Like, I have to keep the laptop always at hand, even if I'm moving slightly, right, just to, since something like this would definitely make your life much easier. And always, always install a big stop button, like a red, you know, just.
Yes.
Yeah. I think most of my advice will come to CNC, because that's where I'm learning the most.
Right. So do you have some more projects there? I see some more stuff on the table.
So what else? I have, this is something I've never ended up releasing. In the beginning of the pandemic, I did this is an automated dispenser.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, it's fully 3D printed. It can work on a battery as well. You just put your stuff in there. Uh-huh. And the reason why I did is because I made it with an interchangeable back. This is before monotonic infill.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And one of the back plates is actually a hook, which I can put in the elevator of the apartment block here. So as soon as you go in, you just, yeah. So that's one of those. It's fully 3D printed with just a peristaltic pump and a sensor and a small Arduino inside, nothing major. This is, you'll probably notice a theme here. I love light. So I do a lot of lamps. This is a revolving lithophane lamp.
Mm-hmm.
Once
again, that spiral LED design.
Yeah, exactly. And it works like with an app. And this was at the time, I can actually, hold on. This was at the time where, can you see?
Yeah, now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When Game of Thrones came out.
So. Yeah, before the last season came out and everyone was still excited about it.
Exactly, and everyone was disappointed, but let's not get into that.
I mean, at least you didn't name your daughter after one of the, you know, your kids after one of the characters or something before the...
Right.
As I mentioned, I do a lot of printing. I love painting, so I have my... this is my...
Mm-hmm. Joker
bust, and but yeah, that's basically what I do, and lots of testing pieces. This is where I was testing the gyroid infill, just to see how it would look in resin, because it's always, whenever there's a project which involves something like this, I tend to test first, because I might have a ridiculously awesome idea which I can never bring to fruition. So first, lots of testing, lots and lots of testing.
And so you already teased that your next project with the infill patterns?
So this is part of my next project.
Okay.
It will involve wood as well. I will probably include resin as well, because resin and 3D printing, they go so well together. Mm-hmm. And you can do some amazing things with it. So yeah.
Okay.
Then there is definitely another lamp that's coming, and it involves, there's the big red button.
Yeah, I'm backtracking a little bit, but this is a nice project by Paul Arden,
something I should do.
Yeah, just like, it looks so cool, just a pass-through emergency stop that you can connect to literally anything, and yeah, I can totally see that saving you a few times, so that's cool.
Yeah, so yeah, cool. And I also have a very ambitious project. I mentioned that I bought a lot of fiber optic cable.
Uh-huh.
So I want to do a very special lamp, which is black glitter resin. But when it lights up, you can see constellations within the resin.
Do I already see some fibers on the very edge of your frame? That's also like a lamp.
This would be my fireworks lamp.
Yeah.
This was a very simple project. It just has an Arduino Nano and a NeoPixel ring inside. Mm-hmm. So it's quite cool. This was kind of like, you know, those lamps we used to have as I was a little kid. We used to have the lamps with the fiber optic cable.
I remember them too.
Yeah.
And they were always so mesmerizing to watch.
Yeah, and ours had like oil which used to flow down the fiber optic cables like in drips. It was so cool, and it was always the kind of lamp that you sit down and stare at for hours. Yeah.
Very neat. So if people want to see these projects actually being created, if they actually want to watch them, where would they go searching for?
Well, they could definitely follow me on YouTube or subscribe to my YouTube channel, Breaks and Makes. I also have a Twitter account. Currently, it's still at 3D Maker Noob. I'm doing the changes very slowly. For those that just want to see like the quick iterations of this these projects, I post short videos on Instagram and also TikTok, believe it or not. But yeah, that's and everything is Breaks and Makes or 3D Maker Noob. If you go on 3D Maker Noob, you'll still find me on YouTube.
So. Yes. I just pasted the YouTube link in the chat, but I'm pretty sure that most of the people will already know you and be subscribed.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. I just wanted to make sure that those who didn't knew where to go looking.
People watch this even from the replay, so you should subscribe now. I can see you.
Exactly. Subscribe, ring the bell for notification, and you know.
Hey, I got in trouble for that the first show, so no worries telling people to subscribe.
Okay.
So this is normally the point where we would say goodbye, but. Since we don't have another Joe on the show, why don't we just hang out while we continue on here?
I don't have my Joe hat because I do have a Joe hat, believe it or not.
Don't we all?
I love it. So yeah. I could just, you know, put that on. And...
okay. So we have our Prusa Live, Prusa Printer or Prusa Live Show Us Your Prints contest every show. And we have our winners for this go round. Thank you for everyone who's participating. We really appreciate it. Now, Mickey and I were talking about it, and a lot of you guys give us crap for picking MMU prints so often. But I do have to say, Mickey, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just looking through them. Yeah. Did it look like I'm frozen?
The way you were leaning over and not moving, like I totally thought that you had frozen. And
okay.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Okay. So lots of you guys say we pick MMU prints. I will actually say this week was a little bit hard to not necessarily pick MMU prints because you guys are submitting a ton of MMU prints. And we have a bunch of you guys that are joining in every week and submitting on the contest, and we love that. But we've got a lot of the same people, so that means there's a lot of chance for you guys to go out there and, you know, potentially win a spool or two of filament. So make sure to send us your prints because I know you guys are printing stuff. Just take a picture and send it to us on Twitter. So pound Prusa Alive. All right, so who do we have this week? Who's in third place?
So third place is not an MMU print. And it's a Dice Tower. We had a few, I think, in the contest already.
Yeah. But there have been some really great Dice Towers recently. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this in the Mystic Green just comes out so great. So the Mimic made after a D&D monster. So it looks like a chest of gold, and when you go to it, it's actually a monster that tries to eat you. But in this case, you pour your dice into the monster's mouth, and they roll out, and it's a really cute dice tower. And I really kind of love the idea of like actually taking a D&D monster and making it a dice tower for playing D&D. Like, it's so
rehearsed. I also really appreciate supportless prints that are so wild shape wise.
Yeah,
right. That's someone who knows design for 3D printing there, right?
It's
really great print.
And that's by Qual 15.
Right.
Congrats.
Congratulations there. Yeah. Who do we have for number two?
So I will stop the screen share just to make sure that I... You know, we're upgrading. You can't see all the tabs immediately, so you don't know who's going to win the next place.
Yeah, so. I told Mickey that I realized that as he has all the tabs open and switches between tabs, everyone could read who the winner was coming up. And so
not anymore. Okay, so coming up, the second place is CJ Beck, who I'm pretty sure he's
a regular.
Yeah, right.
yeah, for sure. But yeah, this is that Kingfisher model that is just such an incredibly beautiful model, and I really think this is a great take on it. Beautiful color choices there. and he definitely has a purge tower
that's a beautiful, I'll take it.
I call dibs on the tower.
Everyone, if you have wipe towers, you can just send it to Joe and
just send them to my PO box. I'll take them.
There's a use for them. Okay, so that's number two. Congrats to CJ Beck.
Yeah, and
coming up with the first place is rather original print, something we like to see, something unusual.
Yeah.
And it's Sammy Hendrick with his kind of CMYK, you know, just like you could use just a 2D printer, but that's boring, you know. Who wants a 2D printer? So this really trippy technique to create a color image with your 3D printer. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
This is the kind of person
Go ahead, Joe.
No, so I was going to say, this is the kind of person I don't like because I want to be as smart as them. And be able
to do
yeah.
Like, I want to be that smart.
And Sammy actually pushed two different models this week that were both very original techniques. And it was kind of hard picking which one was our favorite. But I'm really excited to see what Sammy is doing in the future. And Sammy, I might be talking to you about coming on this show because I like what you're doing and I'd love to see more and find out what's going on in your brain with this. Yeah, there's one of the
other ones.
This
is the other one, yeah. Which is a depth map from iPhone converted into a two-color print, which is also ridiculously cool.
Right.
Why can't I do this stuff?
And whatever software he's using, he's used twice there. If you go to the next screenshot or the next shot that's there. Yeah. So whatever this is looks like the same that he was doing in the other one too.
Okay.
So I don't know if he's written some software or if this is something that, you know, I'm unaware of that's out there, but
yeah, it is running on a local host, which is suspicious.
Yeah, so it's probably something he's written for sure. Yeah. So I'd love to know more about what's going on here. So
this reminds me when velocity printing first came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you recall that?
Yeah.
So I had seen that on Twitter from Mark Whedon, I believe his name is. And I had messaged him, I was like, could I send you a photo and an STL and you can send it to me ready so I can print it? And then from the video, you know, a developer got in touch with him and then it became, you know, like this app you can download. And that's what should happen here. You know, like a developer should get in touch and, you know, that make
well, it looks like he might be a developer already. Like if he's already writing this, it's just, you know, may not be ready to be released yet. So, yeah, that's another local host.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? It could also be just, you know, something from GitHub that you run on a local server. You never know. Yeah, either way, it's ridiculously cool. Oh, yeah, I will
be reaching out to him about his contest win, but I will also be finding out more about what's going on here because it is super cool.
That is very small wipe tower. I think Joe, this is not very interesting for you, right?
I'd still find it.
Okay.
I want all the purge blocks.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. So congratulations to all of our winners, and again. You know, to all of you out there, be sure to send in your prints because, hey, you're printing them anyways. Let us see them. We want to see the cool stuff that you guys are making, and you might win some filament.
Okay, so all right,
we have some questions out there.
10-ish minutes. I don't know. Yeah, do you have any questions from Twitter? Okay.
Yeah, we've got about 10 minutes. I'm not seeing anything in.
I know that very frequent one from last time was the setting sheets, and we restocked like a few hundred. They lasted like, I don't know, maybe 2 hours. It wasn't that bad, didn't disappear immediately, but they are no longer in stock. So I just checked with our eShop guys, and I think we will be able to restock some of them like the next week, also like a batch, similar batch, so... We'll see. I'm pretty sure we can set a notification in the eShop if you go onto the product and click the box. Also, the setting sheet is now available for the Mini, which is something we promised, and now it actually happened. So that's nice.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing a lot of people asking, how are they going to send me the purge blocks? So if you go, just in case, if you go to my YouTube page on the About, there's a PO box address there. I'd recommend only people from Europe ship them, because outside of Europe, they would be too expensive.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be worth it. But if you're in EU, you want to get rid of your purge blocks, by all means, I have a few projects in mind. One of them involves a toilet seat for Pooch. That will have milled aluminum or aluminium. I'd say aluminium.
Someone, let me see who's it. It's Zobi is asking if we know Luban software. I've heard about it for sure. I don't think I've ever tried it, but I just opened the website. Yeah. And
Luban is awesome. It's a really good software, actually, to dissect models, especially if you want to print really large models.
Uh-huh.
It can dissect it in squares with a maximum size of your choice.
Oh, nice.
And also make dowel holes inside of the print. Like, so you can attach them together with dowels.
Right. I think this is something that we talked with the Prusa Slicer team, that would be really nice to improve the cut tool to add some kind of functionality like this, that you could connect the pieces. But yeah, this looks cool. Need to try it. Oh yeah, that's right. It's also for CNC cutting.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, now I remember.
Yeah, dowels for like registration and putting things together would be super useful. When you're making giant Grecian statues of your boss, it would be much easier to to assemble those.
Brucia Slicer 3 supports. I'm pretty sure eventually, but that's the big feature that you only can add like one or two every release, because the team will spend a month just implementing the basic thing, and then another month, you know, testing and improving it. So I'm pretty sure it will happen, but maybe in like one or two versions, not, we don't know yet. At least I don't know. Can Joe sign my printer? I mean, depends on which Joe you mean, but you said it's just J and O. He definitely can. You can add a note to your order. Just keep in mind that this, we already talked about this the last stream. It may delay the order by quite a bit, because instead of going, you know, seamlessly through the process, someone will have to physically take the order out, you know, put it on Joe's desk. He will have to sign it, and it will have to go back into the process of shipping, and that can delay it surprisingly quite a lot.
Giannis Varkaris is asking about metal 3D printing at home, and if it's something that we think we will see anytime soon. So as far as like direct sintering metal printing, I think there's still a long ways off of that. There is a filament out there right now. I can't remember who.
There are like steel fills and
BASF.
Yes, BASF. Thank you. Yes, the BASF filament that you can actually print, and then you send the part away.
Oh, that's right.
It will get debound and sintered off at a commercial kiln and systems. The problem is a lot of that produces off-gassing that you don't want in your home. A lot of that involves, you know, extremely high heat equipment and things like that, that just really isn't necessarily safe for home use. But again, there is this BASF filament, Ultrafuse. Is that it? Yeah, I think that's it. The Ultrafuse.
It's extremely expensive.
Extremely expensive. Yes, absolutely. And the service to actually like send it off and sinter it is an extra cost and things like that too. So there are options if you really want to do it. I do often go back to the, but why? You know, I get it. Some parts you definitely want made out of metal. But if you really look around at your day-to-day life of how many things like probably would have been made in metal in the past, but now are made out of plastic, you know, our glasses, you know, a good portion of your car now is plastic instead of being metal. We really kind of have transitioned over that plastics are very ubiquitous for making many things. So Yeah, maybe question why you need metal rather than can you do metal. So I don't know. That's my opinion.
And then maybe if you need it for metal, if 3D printing is necessary,
right. Yeah. Rather than traditional machining processes.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Clifford asked about the big models in our factory. We just recently released the video where we kind of show some of them. For some of them, it even shows the assembly process. And yeah, how do we stick them together? Yeah, just lots of glue, honestly, really. Just surprisingly, we tried a bunch of glues. That's right. I can actually also...
Yeah, we released an article recently about which yes. glues were the best for combining your prints. So
precisely, yeah. And surprisingly, one of the best results was a local CA glue. Really cheap one from a hobby store, because these guys know what they want. They, you know, glue big expensive planes and everything, and they don't want the plane to crash because of a bad glue connection. So that's maybe a pro tip to look for local groups and shops that do these things and ask them for help with cheap and good glue.
Yeah.
But yeah, just lots of glue. Really, that's it.
We've got a lot of comments going on about non-planar slicing. And someone did ask about 5-axis, and 5-axis does make that rather interesting in some ways, 5-axis 3D printing. But for the most part, and we've discussed this in previous shows, that, you know, a few years ago, there was the whole non-planar model that was released, and everyone got really excited about that. But there's pretty limited on the hardware that we have use cases for that, and really hasn't been something that we've really found investing in versus like all the big bang things that would help so many of us to get into PrusaSlicer. So the thing that we've always said is, if you guys will show us more use cases, more actual models that would benefit and things like that from non-planar slicing, then that will potentially get us excited. But not really a lot of stuff out there that really makes it worth the while thus far.
Oh, Shane is watching and posting a cute picture. Hey, Shane.
Oh, my mug.
Yeah.
Coffee actually tastes better if taken in my my merch.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's the fact. That's scientifically correct. Yeah.
Because it has a white stripe inside, so you know, stripes make things better.
Brian asked about a gradient color change in the Z direction for MMU in PrusaSlicer. Wow, so you could do like a dithering. So I guess you could do like one layer, you know, blue, next one white, then do blue, white. And it, from distance, it would look cool.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to do like a gradual change, I'm not really sure how would the MMU achieve that. I don't think it really has that capability.
You'd need two filaments going into one nozzle.
Yeah. Which has been, like, I've seen someone try, didn't really look that great.
There's been a couple that have been, you know, for true color mixing have been okay, but they've been super experimental and, you know, I think are going to be very tricky to get working well and get working right. So, yeah. I don't know, but I do agree. I think that there could be something fun that's done for something that, you know, you wouldn't see the effect up close, but for a larger model further away, where depending on how often you're switching layers between two different colors starts to blend those colors together, which is, you know, essentially how our televisions work anyways, with like, you know, RGB LEDs inside of them and things like that. So, yeah.
Clifford, that was the question about the big prints. Maybe I kind of misunderstood it. He meant more about how we split the models into several pieces. And believe it or not, we often just use PrusaSlicer. It's kind of unintuitive in the way that you have to rotate the part first before you make the cut. But when you think about it, it actually makes a lot of sense, because the cut is parallel to the print bed, and you most likely want to print the part with the flat on the bottom, so you would be rotating it anyway. So yeah, that's very often what we just use. It's the shortcut is the C key, and you just rotate the model, cut it to multiple pieces, and you can repeat this as many times as you want. Of course, for the like really, really big prints, it's probably not ideal. So maybe something like the Luban that we just looked at would be better.
Yeah. Netfab makes it pretty easy to,
or Netfab,
to
yeah.
slice. Yeah, to slice your prints too. Okay. Well, actually, I think we've got time for one more. If we have anything out there, let's see. Do I have anything on Discord?
I mean, a quick one is Kashime, paint the colors for the MMU like you can now paint supports. Yeah, maybe. Maybe we are working on that already. Maybe we've been working on it for kind of years. But yeah, I haven't tried anything yet, but something like that might happen in not so far future.
There's a Kickstarter that just happened for a third-party application to allow you to do that. I forget exactly what it is. I did back that, and I think I have access to it now. But yeah, there are some options out there. But now that we've added kind of the paint functionality as is for paint on supports and paint on seam and things like that, I think it's pretty realistic to see the potential of that, as well as other paint on functions could easily be coming in the future. So
yeah.
All right. Well, that's our show for this week. That's our time. So I'd like to thank Joe Kasha for joining us.
Yes.
It's been great to have you on the show. And little secret there, Joe was an emergency fill-in at the last minute, so I appreciate him being so willing to come on the show in such short notice. So
I was asking, it wasn't a mistake.
No. I super appreciate it. So thank you all for tuning in. We will be back in 2 weeks, and we can't wait to see you guys then. Stay safe, keep printing, and we'll see you later.
Take care. Thank you.